It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're here with the national champions.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Bert Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's the top of hour number two on a Monday edition of Overtime, and we started out with some breaking news pertaining to the Spurs and the Timberwolves in the NBA postseason. Shams Charania reporting there will be no further discipline for Spurs star Victor Wembanyama after he was ejected for elbowing Naz Reid last night. Sources tell ESPN no suspension, no fine. Wemby will play Game 5 against the T-Wolves Tuesday night in San Antonio. That breaking news, Shams Charania on Twitter as of about 10 minutes ago. NFL schedule release coming up later on, we believe, this week. The schedule release coming Thursday, 7 o'clock Central Time on ESPN, according to the NFL's official Twitter page. Worth noting, the Chicago Bears have the hardest strength of schedule in the NFL. Easiest schedule should be for the Cleveland Browns. Saints, Bengals, Colts, Falcons, Lions are the teams on easy street. And the teams that are going to have a tough go of it, at least on paper, Bears, Dolphins, Cardinals, Packers, Chiefs, Patriots, Raiders, Bills, Chargers, Panthers, then the Vikings. Minnesota nearly in the middle of the pack, a little bit closer to hard than soft on the schedule there for the Minnesota Vikings. We'll dive into all things Sioux Falls Stampede. Head coach Ryan Crothers will join us here in about 15 minutes. And we finish up the show recapping a season, memorable one for USF Cougar baseball. Head coach Grant Heeb will join us. And we'll also round out the show with the good, the bad, the ugly, brought to you by Lewis Lawn and Garden. By the way, somehow, some way, I've turned into a gardening nerd. I've been that way for 3, 4, 5 years. In the ground. Breaking news at Bert's house as of yesterday. A lot of pretty flowers out front for the missus, but then in the back, in the garden for the boys, my son and I, oldest son, get everything in the ground. We got potatoes, we got onion, we got a zillion different tomato plants because my family eats them like it's going out of style. Also got some beans, green beans for the first time, just in case you're wondering here on a Monday edition of Overtime. Let's get right into the scorecard. NBA postseason last night, Knicks beat the brakes off of Philly again, a 30-point win. Karl-Anthony Towns, a big reason why this team is dancing, boogieing into the Eastern Conference Finals.
You have to give Karl-Anthony Towns a round of applause. I mean, regardless of however Joel Embiid looked, like, he attacked. He was relentless. Last night, 17 points, 10 assists. And by the way, him being unlocked by Mike Brown has opened up this system in order for them to be the best version of themselves.
And the Knicks win at 144-114. And moving on, 114-109, Minnesota beats San Antonio. The big story of the night, though, the big stain of the night, the stink of the night belongs to Victor Wembanyama, 7-foot Frenchman throwing bows. Luckily, did not smack Naz Reid in the chin, but just in between, right there in the jugular. Naz Reid falls down to the floor. And credit to Naz for not reacting incredibly poorly, and the teammates were not doing the same. But then to follow that up, Naz Reid, one of the most important players the rest of the way. 15 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists in the win. Brian Windhorst says this was not only out of character, but pretty inexcusable behavior from Victor Wembanyama last night.
You absolutely do not take yourself out of a game like this. I think Victor Wembanyama and the Spurs have shown incredible maturity. They have been praised up and down for it the entire season and this postseason. This was a very immature act by a player who took himself out of a game, opened the door for his team now to lose leverage in the series. And while I understand you're going to defend your superstar, absolutely no way can Mitch Johnson say that. If you want to have somebody protect Victor Wembanyama, you bring in somebody else off the bench and have him protect him. You do not have your star player throwing elbows like that. And he will avoid a suspension now. He better not do this again because he would get suspended for this kind of hit. It is now 2-2, and he's going to have, I have no doubt, he'll play in a way that will make us forget that. Absolutely unacceptable to do this in a playoff game.
And again, Game 5 coming up tomorrow night. Victor Wembanyama will not face any further suspension, any further discipline from the league, suspension, fine, or otherwise. As of moments ago, Shams Charania confirming the same. Now, Chris Canty echoing the sentiment there. You can't have your star player out there throwing bows. So have somebody else throw the bows for your star player.
I do think there was a concerted effort by the Minnesota Timberwolves to frustrate Wemby. And good on Terrence Shannon Jr. and the rest of the Wolves for recognizing when Wemby got two fouls to get even more physical in terms of taking the basketball right at him on the defensive end, roughing him up, putting bodies on him. They frustrated him. They flustered him. So Mitch Johnson is right in his assessment of what's happening to Victor Wembanyama. My only issue with him is that you knew this in terms of what team's approach would be to negate Wemby's strengths coming into the season. You knew what this would be. And to not be better prepared as a team to be able to offset that in these moments, that's on you. That's not on anybody else. Like, Chris Finch is telling his guys to do exactly what they should do. If you're Brian Wright, GM for San Antonio, or if you're Mitch Johnson, the head coach for San Antonio, why the hell don't you have somebody out there that's an enforcer to try to protect Victor Wembanyama?
All fair questions. Minnesota ties it up 2 games apiece. Anthony Edwards, 36 points and 6 rebounds. Naz Reid, again, the stat line, 15, 9, and 4 for Reid. Tonight in the NBA, Pistons at the Cavs, 7 o'clock on NBC. Detroit leads 2-1. Cleveland favored by 3.5. Thunder and the Lakers from Los Angeles quite possibly could be, not building up the flair for the dramatic, but certainly could be the final game in the career of the great LeBron James. 9:30 on Prime Video, Lakers home to the Thunder. OKC leads 3-0 and heavily favored to sweep the Lakers out of the postseason. That number right now at DraftKings Sportsbook is 10.5. Let's talk about the NBA draft lottery. That went down yesterday. Washington took the top spot, Utah second, Memphis third, and Chicago also in the top four. In the NHL, Stanley Cup playoffs on Saturday, Minnesota got back on track with a lopsided win over Colorado 5-1. Wild still trailing the series 2-1. Yesterday, Montreal, gem of a performance in the net, gem of the performance for Alex Newhook, who netted 2 goals in the win for Montreal, 6-2 over Buffalo. Canadians lead that series 2-1. Anaheim tied it up against Vegas 2-2 with a 4-3 win just yesterday. Tonight in the NHL, Avs and the Wild from St. Paul do it again, 7 o'clock on ESPN. It's game 4. Colorado leads 2-1, and the Avs are favored on the puck line this morning at -140. Major League Baseball, big game yesterday for Cody Clemens that helps the Twins find their way to a series win against Cleveland.
As Clemens shoots one through the left side for a base hit. 3-hit day, Cody Clemens. Cody Clemens taking that big left-hander with a low arm angle and shooting into left field.
Cody Clemens, 3 different hits yesterday, 2 doubles and a single heard there. Here's the final call from yesterday as Minnesota wins the series in a big one in Cleveland.
Zana trying to pass the baton. The pitch swung on, bouncing ball. Brooks Lee waits on the big hop, has to hurry to first base, does so in time, and the Twins win in Cleveland. 6-3 the putout for the second straight night. It's a 6-3 putout to put a bow around a 1-run win for the Minnesota Twins.
There you go, 5-4 the final yesterday. Twins move to 18-23. Cleveland falls to 21-21. And this American League Central is pretty darn even, Steven, contentious, competitive, but that's not really the outlier. The outlier is the entire American League, frankly, stinks right now, and there's a lot of opportunity for just about every single team.
You've got the Yankees, and you've got the Rays. The Rays are at the top of the American League East now. The Yankees are a game behind them. And then you have the A's, 1 game or 2 games over 500, and then all other teams are under 500, which means that if you are the Red Sox, you are Detroit, you are Toronto, you're Seattle, and you've either underperformed, you've been hit by a wave of injuries, there is a lot of time to try to figure things out.
That's ESPN's Buster Olney. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Twins are off. They begin a series at home to Miami tomorrow. You'll see the Angels and Guardians collide in Cleveland at 5:10. And then on Fox Sports 1 at 7:10, Astros home to the Mariners. Also on your scorecard, NASCAR race over the weekend was a road course at Watkins Glen. So if you're familiar with the circuit, you know the name. When there's a road course, he generally sweeps through the field. Shane Van Gisbergen, the winner just yesterday at Watkins Glen. Next up, the All-Star race is coming up Sunday at noon at Dover. Coverage on Fox Sports 1. And out of the National Football League, big matchup. Sunday Night Football, the first confirmed game on the schedule Ahead of the schedule release in its entirety on Thursday is going to be the Giants and the Cowboys for Sunday Night Football. Here's Dan Graziano on the matchup.
NBC loves that game, historically, and for good reason. I think it's exciting. I think the Cowboys are probably in better position to make a statement week one, because I just don't know at this point, and I don't think the Giants do either, whether, you know, Malik Nabers will be back and at full strength for that game. Cam Scadaboo, to D Wood's point about running the ball, he's coming off of a major injury. And of course, you have the new coach there. And a program that I think we all have high hopes for, but may need some time to get up to speed. So again, no way to know between now and then, like who else gets hurt. But right now, the way it looks, the Cowboys, I think, would be set up to be the team that we'd be sitting there on Monday morning going, ooh, might they have something here?
Lot to gain, lot to lose. Week number one, Sunday Night Football, Giants and Cowboys. Damian Woody was asked the question, you taking Jordan Love or Caleb Williams for the next 5 years?
I'll go with Caleb.
Damian.
I'll go with Caleb. And the reason I say that, I'm a big believer in Ben Johnson. We saw the flair for the fantastic with Caleb. A lot of splash plays. But I did say last postmortem from, you know, last season is that he needed to learn how to bat singles. We know he can smash the home runs. But if he wants to be one of the elite quarterbacks, you got to do the mundane stuff. You got to bat the singles. Too many times last year, the ordinary plays he was missing. The layup plays he was missing. And I think that's going to come because of the coaching. He's going to fine-tune the small things, and his completion percentage is going to go up. And if you combine that with what the God-given ability that Caleb Williams has, I mean, that would be a scary, scary sight.
And that's one hell of a debate question. Jordan Love, Caleb Williams, who you taking for the next 5 years? I would imagine a lot of people, based on youth and based on the unreal pedigree for the big moment last year, you think Caleb Williams probably the leader in the clubhouse with that debate. Golf, PGA Championship coming up this week, Thursday through Sunday. NSIC softball tournament came to a close over the weekend in Augustana. Not the 1 seed, not the 2 seed, or the 3 or the 4, the 5th seeded Augustana Vikings win the NSIC softball tournament here in Sioux Falls. It's their 3rd straight NSIC tourney title. They advance to the NCAA tournament regional round. They'll face the top seeded Missouri Southern State in the region. GoAuggie.com for the latest there. Summit League softball over the weekend wrapped up in Minneapolis, and what a performance for the Jackrabbits and the Coyotes. The Yotes end up winning their first ever Summit League title. They lost to Omaha in game one of two, if necessary, on Saturday. Come back to win game 2-1. And USD earns a bid to the Lincoln Regional. They'll match up with Nebraska Friday at 5:30 on ESPN Plus. Congratulations to the Yotes. And also congrats to Auggie Baseball once again advancing to the regional round. A 6-4 win over Mankato. The good news for the Mavs is they lost. They were down, but they're not out. They're also in the regional. Both teams advancing to the same region. Augustana earns the 5 seed. They'll match up with 4-seeded Northwest Missouri State. That game Thursday at 6:00 in the afternoon. History made at James Sage Cowell Stadium on the campus of Minnesota Saturday. South Dakota softball team overcame all odds this season and won 4 out of their 5 games at the Summit League tournament to win the program's first ever conference title and also clinched a berth to the NCAA softball tournament with a 2-1 winner-take-all win. The name to know, if you had to pick one, is Madison Evans. She concluded the weekend with an overall record this year of 15-14. She was phenomenal over the weekend. Evans was 4-1 with a 1.69 ERA. That includes a humbling loss in game one on Saturday. She comes right back in game two and helps engineer a 2-1 win for her team. Struck out 32 batters over 29 innings of work. Madison Evans, a name to know. My goodness, what a win for USD. And it's big and bold in that story. Yotes won the program's first ever conference title at any level, NCC, Great West, or Summit League since the program began in 1978. A breakthrough historic win on Saturday. Congratulations to the Yotes. Not done yet. They also landed 5 different players on the all-tournament team. Madison Evans, Brooke Carey, Autumn Iverson, Kaya Johnson, and Delaney White. Job well done. Congratulations. And still, season to go as they'll match up with the Nebraska Cornhuskers coming up on Friday at 5:30. on ESPN Plus. Then finishing up your ReliaBank headlines of the day for our number two, Jesper Wallstedt back in the net as the starter after being benched in game two, made 35 saves as the Wild handed the Avalanche a 5-1 loss on Saturday night in game three of the Western Conference semis. The Wild, who allowed 14 goals in the first two games with Wallstedt and Gustafsson starting one contest apiece in net, now trail the series 2-1 in front of Jesper. Kirill Kaprizov scored first and assisted on the next two goals as the Wild forced the Avs into a goalie change themselves and handed Colorado their first loss of the postseason. Quinn Hughes followed Kaprizov's 4-on-4 score late in the first with a 4-on-3 goal less than 2 minutes later. Avs go down. Wild win 5-1 Saturday. Game number four on the way tonight. 7 o'clock on ESPN. Colorado a marginal favorite as of this morning on the puck line. We will take a break. Speaking of hockey, that's exactly where we're going next. We're talking NHL postseason then. How about the USHL postseason? The Western Conference Final is going the distance. 5 games between the Sioux Falls Stampede and the Fargo Force. Bitter rivals are hated rivals up to the north there in Fargo. Down and down tomorrow night, a 7:05 start time. For the winner-take-all Game 5, the head coach of the Sioux Falls Stampede joins us next on the ESPN Hotline. Ryan Crothers joins the program right after this on ESPN Sioux Falls.
ESPN with the free app and online. Grab your phone or call us up on your smart device. Now let's get you back to overtime with Bert Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you. It's hour number two on a leadoff Monday, May 11th edition of Overtime. Sioux Falls Stampede are making their way through the USHL postseason, Western Conference playoffs, Western Conference final. Right now, going the distance, 5 games needed between Sioux Falls and the Fargo Force. So far, they won game 1, 6-2, lost in overtime in game 2, 2-1, triple overtime loss in game 3, and then over the weekend, a 2-1 overtime win in game number 4. Joining us now to talk about a winner-take-all game number 5, tomorrow night, 7:05 at the Premier Center, is the man tasked with leading Sioux Falls Stampede hockey. That's head coach Ryan Crothers. Coach, welcome back into the show. How you doing this week?
Doing great. Happy to still be playing. Appreciate you having me.
I asked you off air, and I'll let you talk about it with the fans as well. Are you tired of postseason overtime hockey just yet? Because this series has got to be pretty darn stressful, but pretty darn fun to be a part of as well.
Yeah, it's been a great experience. I mean, they're fun when you win, and unfortunately, we're on the wrong side of all of our overtime games up at Saturday. So it was getting a little old, but was glad to get a win, and what a cool experience for our guys, having all these games go to overtime, a triple overtime, to win one in overtime on the road. So pretty good life experiences for these kids, and we're excited to play in front of our fans again.
Talk to me about what you saw from the game winner the other night, Thomas Zocco, able to get it in the net for your team. I believe I was reading in the story that was on a power play for your squad, but take us through the nuts and bolts of that play and what it means for the team to keep on moving.
You know, it's Thomas has been our leading scorer all year, and this series hasn't really gone his way, and from a production standpoint, but we got a power play in overtime, and he's been our guy all year, and took a shot, and it got blocked, came right back on his stick, and he put it right back at the net, and we had a really good net front screen, taking the goalie's eyes away by Cooper Soller, who was Rookie of the Year in the league, and it was just you know, it's something we work on all the time, and it was a great play and two great players, and happy to get on the bus with a win and give ourselves a chance at home.
Coach, I'm glad you brought up Cooper. I wanted to ask you about his accolade of being named USHL Rookie of the Year. I know that there's other accolades out there for the Stampede this year as well, including General Manager taking home a GM of the Year, Executive of the Year award. Let's talk about Cooper, though. What does he bring to your team, especially as a young player that has made the difference for your group this year?
Well, I think it's his work ethic. It's very hard to match Cooper's work ethic every day, whether it's practice, game. He played every single game this year. He's the only one that didn't miss a game. And I think that's infectious throughout our whole group. When you have your youngest player, one of your youngest players on the team being one of your hardest workers, it drags the guys into the fight. And I think that's what Coop has done. As a young kid, it's very hard to come in this league and have the success he's had. But through his work ethic, it's made the other guys around him better. They're trying to match that. And he's had a hell of a year. You know, he's looking to heat up now for the rest of the playoffs. And he's a kid that you could build a team around. He's going to be a guy that we like in Sioux Falls for a lot of years to come. And hopefully he strings together another four wins for us.
Talking Sioux Falls Stampede hockey, head coach Ryan Crothers, our guest here on this Monday edition of Overtime. It'll be Game 5, winner take all tomorrow night at the Premier Center. 7:05 the start time. You can grab your tickets at the Premier Center box office, or I got it up in front of me, sfstampede.com. Click on the tickets tab. You'll get there in no time. You can grab your tickets right now for a winner take all game number 5. Coach, let's talk about the mentality of your team this year. I know there's a lot of ups and downs as you make your way through the season, much less the postseason. As you continue to ride this wave, the overtime games, the losses, the wins, everything in between, what gives you confidence about your team's ability to meet the moment coming up tomorrow night?
Well, just the players inside that locker room. We've been in first place basically the whole year, but it's a group that's made up of, you know, honestly, underdogs. We've been a lot of our guys were either in other spots. They might have been cut in this league. They might have been traded, but although we've been at the top of the standings, we still feel like we're the underdog with an underdog mentality. And we got a really strong core leadership group that no moment's been too big. And, you know, we didn't lose 3 games in a row all year. So when you're talking about playoff series and having to win 3 games, I think we're very hard out. And we've only lost 2 games in a row a couple times all year. So I think this team has a really good ability of whether we win or lose, putting it behind us and moving on. And I think the biggest thing for this group is they've really attached to the community in Sioux Falls this year like none I've seen before. And I know they wanted to play another home game in front of our fans at the Denny, and we need that place rocking tomorrow. We need home ice advantage. We worked all year to get it. Now this is when it shows up in a Game 5 at home, so we're encouraging all of our fans to get out and support us because that's what our players wanted and that's what they worked for.
And certainly the atmosphere will be rocking at the Premier Center. You can grab your tickets, sfstampede.com right now. Click on the tickets tab at the top of the screen, or of course over your lunch break, hop on over to the Premier Center and grab your tickets in person. When it comes down to it, you mentioned the Denny and the fact that the guys love playing there. What is kind of your impression? You've been around the map a bit, Fayetteville, North Carolina, other stops along the way. What makes the Denny pretty special, and what kind of atmosphere are you expecting tomorrow night at 7:05?
I think the atmosphere coupled with that this is junior hockey makes it a really unique experience. I mean, we have an NHL building and an NHL fan base, and our players are junior hockey players. So, you know, naturally they're still growing. They're still maturing, and what those fans do to inspire them, I couldn't imagine it as a player. I mean, even as a coach, I know our first home game to start the playoffs, you could hear the fans before we even got on the ice. I could hear it in my office. The place was legitimately rocking, and our guys feed off that. And even, you know, playing against Fargo, you got to have good starts. We want to get out to a good start. So we want fans here early and often. I think the first 3,000 fans get free rally towels, and you can go to the Premier Center and get tickets, but I think our front office has tickets ready to go right now too. I mean, get them wherever you can, but Our guys are, you know, they like doing it because it looks like the NHL. And this place gets extremely loud. And you could tell, you know, when we score a goal and the place gets loud, we usually score a second one pretty quick. So Fargo's a hard team to score against. So if we can get them behind us early and help us get that first one, I think it's going to go a long way. And we love playing here. We love this city, and our guys really embrace it.
Quite the rivalry. And again, it's a winner take all game 5 tomorrow night, 7:05. Grab your tickets at sfstampede.com. It is game number 5. Talk to us about Fargo. You don't have to say anything nice, but talk to us about the team across from you that you've been battling with over the last few nights here. 4 games in the bag so far. Game number 5, winner take all. What does Fargo do well? What's the biggest challenge they present? And give me a key or two to your team skating off the ice with a win coming up tomorrow night, Coach.
Yeah, well, they have a very good roster. I mean, their top 6 forwards are extremely gifted and talented. They made some really big trades at the end of the year and brought in some talent to go along with what they already had. But, you know, they got an NHL first-round pick that's, you know, 6'4", 6'5", you know, up front. And then their top 4D are very good. They play a lot of minutes. You know, I haven't seen a team run 4D like that in a long time, but they have the strength to do it and the talent to do it. So that makes them dangerous, and their goalie has played extremely well in this system and structure that they do. They're a hard team to score against, and I think that's been their DNA forever. It's hard to get pucks by their goalie and the way that they play. So that always presents challenges. They've been very good off the rush against us as well. They've added speed. They added two players through trades that bring a lot of speed to their forward group. So they're a challenging team. I think that's why the series has been so good. I mean, last three games have gone to overtime. It's two really good teams that are matching up well against each other. It's exciting. And for us to be successful, I think special teams, power play, and penalty kill has played a role in every game. And we got to continue to be good on the penalty kill and find ways to stay out of the penalty box. And our power play has to take advantage when we get chances. So I think it's a great matchup. It's been a great series, and it's been a lot of fun. And we're excited to extend this thing Tuesday and then get back here again on Friday.
Very exciting time of the year. And the Sioux Falls Stampede dancing into a winner-take-all Game 5 tomorrow night, a 7:05 start time. That's head coach Ryan Crothers on a Monday. Coach, always appreciate the time. Go get them. Congrats on everything so far, and wish you guys all the best moving forward. Thanks, as always, for the time.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Sioux Falls Stampede talk, a winner-take-all Game 5. That is going to be quite the environment coming up tomorrow night, a 7:05 start time. You heard Coach there, get there early. First 3,000, I believe he said, in the house. We'll get a free rally towel, and that's something certainly going to be worth keeping around for the rest of the season as Sioux Falls Stampede hockey, winner-take-all Game 5. A recap quickly, Game 1. It was an onslaught for Sioux Falls. They won 6-2. Game 2, they lost in overtime 2-1. Game 3, triple overtime loss 4-3. And then Game 4, over the weekend, Saturday night, a 2-1 overtime win. Thomas Zocco with the game-winning goal in the end. Game number 5, winner take all, coming up tomorrow night, 7:05, the start time at the Denny Sanford Premier Center. Easiest place to get tickets right now. If you're at your desk listening, sfstampede.com. Click on that tickets tab at the top of the page. It's easy also to find over to the ushl.com site, where you can see the other two teams still playing. Also heading towards a winner take all Game 5. It'll be Madison and Muskegon coming up, and that game is tonight from Trinity Health Arena on the other side, Eastern Conference Finals of the USHL. That's head coach Ryan Crothers on a Monday. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap up the season for USF Cougar baseball. They finished the campaign with an even mark of 26-26. We'll celebrate the seniors, talk about the offseason priorities, and also program feels on the cusp of a breakthrough. What do they need moving forward? Key positions, key play, key stretches of seasons ahead. We'll talk with head coach Grant Heap coming up next to recap another strong season for USF Cougar baseball. That's next as we wrap up this Monday edition of Overtime. Also, with the good, the bad, the ugly, round the corner right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader.
Overtime is in the middle of your workday. Unwrap your sandwich and get caught up with Burt Rameen on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls Sports Leader.
Right back with you on this Monday, May 11th edition of Overtime. Congratulations to the winner of the Friday Parlay over the weekend, RJ. Be sure to play on Friday for your chance to win Friday Parlay each and every Friday on the show. A Twitter exclusive contest, which typically this time of year features Twins, ticket giveaway, and more if you are the big winner of the Friday Parlay. We got news across the sports world to get to. We're still efforting our conversation at USF Baseball season recap with head coach Grant Heave here, hopefully in just a moment or two. Until then, though, let's dive right in to the good, the bad, and the ugly on a Monday.
Who's been the problem child today? Displayed their ugly side. Whined a bit too much and is now setting a bad example. Bert is calling out today's headline makers with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. Your one-stop shop for making your home and garden shine this time of year is Lewis Lawn and Garden and Lewis Drug. This week, at Lewis. Roundup dual action, ready to use, 1 gallon spray on, just $20.02. Typically $38. More on that. Kills and prevents new weeds for up to 4 months. You can use it along fences, around trees and landscape areas, or on driveways, patios, and sidewalks. Typically $38, on sale this week at Lewis for just $17.97. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's hit the headlines now. First things first, good news from Barcelona, Spain. Yoav Premlal, a unheralded South African ranked number 598 in the world, capped one of the most extraordinary performances in European Tour history on Sunday by winning the Catalunya Championship by 14 shots, one of the all-time biggest margins of victory set by Tiger Woods at the 2000 U.S. Open, one off of the all-time. So 15, that mark. The 22-year-old Premlal made 10 birdies to shoot a second straight round of 9 under 63 this weekend and finished at 28 under par for the tournament. Premlal's first win on the tour came in a season when he had missed the cut in 4 of his 8 appearances and had not had a top 30 finish. So pretty impressive stuff there for a young South African. Other news to get to, we can quantify this as good for basketball, good for the Spurs, probably bad for the T-Wolves. But Victor Wembanyama has avoided further discipline, will not face any further discipline for elbowing Minnesota's Naz Reid, and will play in Game 5 against the T-Wolves in San Antonio. That's according to ESPN's Shams Charania. Wemby was whistled for an offensive foul in Sunday night's Game 4 loss as soon as he struck Reid, who had swarmed the NBA Defensive Player of the Year outside the paint, along with Wolves teammate Jaden McDaniels, after the 7'4" Frenchman rebounded and a missed three-pointer by his team after a review of the hit, which caught Reid on the right side of his jaw and neck area, sent him spinning and crashing to the floor. Referee Zach Zarba announced the call was upgraded to a flagrant foul 2 for excessive contact above the neck. No doubt about it. Dirty play? Yes. Dirty player? No, not yet. Maybe. We'll wait and see for Victor Wembanyama. That was a first-of-its-kind stain on the early career for Wemby. We'll see how he and his team rebound in game number 5. Other news to get to. This is good for just about all parties involved. A foregone conclusion, we think. The Milwaukee Bucks are officially open for business on trade calls and offers for 2-time MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo. Entering the NBA draft combine and over 6 weeks away from the draft, league and team sources told ESPN there's expected to be a robust market for the Greek Freak services, and ownership and front office officials expect to maintain their trade deadline asking price for of a young blue chip talent and or a surplus of draft picks. There we go. Big offseason storyline confirmed. Giannis on the move. Who's going to get him? At what cost? Where are the landing spots? It's going to keep our offseason cup pretty darn full for the NBA and the Giannis sweepstakes. Other good news, the Minnesota Vikings are inducting one of the greatest players to ever suit up in the purple and gold into their Ring of Honor. Talked about this briefly earlier in the show, that retired running back Adrian Peterson will enter the Vikings Ring of Honor this fall. The induction comes 1 year before Peterson is eligible for a gold jacket. He'll get a purple jacket first. The Vikings hosted Peterson last week in a surprise visit, was there to talk to some youngsters, rookies on the squad, but also there to be surprised about his Vikings Ring of Honor induction coming up in the fall. 41-year-old played for the Vikings 2007 to 2016, holds the franchise record for rushing yards and touchdowns, and certainly one of the best running backs to ever play, nearly 15,000 career yards and 120 touchdowns. Both of those rank in the top 5 in the history of the National Football League. Other good news, the SEC received 6 of the top 8 seeds in the NCAA D1 softball tournament when the 64-team field was revealed yesterday, including Alabama at number 1, defending champion Texas at number 2. In all, the SEC got 12 of their 15 teams into the field. Regional play begins on Friday, top 16 seeds hosting. The 8 teams that got through the Super Regionals the next week will play in the Women's College World Series, which starts May 28th at Devon Park in Oklahoma City. Alabama, Texas, Oklahoma, top 3 seeds, Nebraska, not out of the SEC. Huskers are the four seed. They beat UCLA to win the Big Ten tournament title on Saturday. Nebraska's Jordy Fromm led Oklahoma to a national title in 2023 as Jordy Ball before transferring, then getting married and changing her name, changing your stripes. Still a really darn great softball player, and Jordy Fromm, a star for Nebraska, the four seed USD looking to pull the stunner over the Huskers in their specific regional later on this week. Other news to get to, Rangers right-hander Jacob DeGrom earned his 1,900th career strikeout in the first inning against the Cubs on Sunday, becoming the second fastest pitcher to that milestone by games and innings. Seiya Suzuki struck out swinging on a 91-mile-an-hour slider to end the inning after Moises Belestro swung and missed on a 98-mile-an-hour fastball for the second out. Jacob DeGrom, second fastest ever to 1,900 career strikeouts. Also, good news out of bad news. Detroit Tigers ace Tarek Skubal could return significantly sooner than the typical timeline for a pitcher undergoing removal of loose elbow particle, according to his agent, Scott Boras. When the Tigers first announced that Skubal would need surgery, there was speculation he would return sometime after the All-Star break. But Boras, talking on ESPN's Baseball Tonight podcast, said that because of the nature of the procedure by Dr. Neil Elitrache, Skubal won't have to go through a full rebuild of his arm strength, and this will shorten the time he'll be absent from Detroit's rotation. It is anybody's bet how the AL Central shakes out the rest of the way. The entire American League is an absolute mess of a standings right now. You're looking for a good team, they're pretty hard to find. You're looking for a really bad team, also hard to find. Best record in the American League is a two-horse race. The Rays are 26-13. Yankees are 26-15. And that is it. That's all she wrote for teams that are really good record-wise. Because you got a 21-19 West Sacramento A's team atop the American League West. You got a 21-21 Cleveland Guardians team atop the Central. And the AL Central specifically, with Skubal included as a member of those Tigers, from top to bottom, 2.5 games of separation from Cleveland all the way down to Minnesota. Minnesota is down. They're not out of it at all. And that division going to be a fun fight to the middle of the season and to the finish, I'm sure. Minnesota right now in the cellar, but not too far away from getting out of it in a big way, especially after taking the series over the weekend against those division-leading Guardians. Other news to get to, Mookie Betts is set to return after missing more than a month because of a right oblique strain when the Dodgers open a four-game set against the Giants today. Betts hasn't played since April the 4th when he was hurt in a 10-5 win against Washington. Manager Dave Roberts said that he'll have Betts hit second or third in the order, and he was batting 179 with two homers and seven RBIs in eight games before the injury this year. That's the latest from Major League Baseball. That's pretty much all she wrote, except for this news item out of Columbia, Missouri, that certainly is turning heads and a lot of concerned people this morning for the Missouri Tiger football program. Running back Ahmad Hardy, a first-team All-SEC selection last year, was shot at a concert in Mississippi early Sunday morning, but is in stable condition following surgery, school announced on Monday. Ahmad is deeply loved by his teammates, coaches, friends, family, and fans. The school statement said, "We continue to stand beside him and his family through the difficult time, offering love, prayers, strength, and support. Hardy is alert as of this morning. Moving around. Great news out of an ugly situation," according to ESPN's Pete Thamel. And there's optimism he will play football again. How quickly he can return and the impact has yet to be determined. Hardy is from Mississippi, was second among FBS players with 1,650 rushing yards last year. He was the SEC Newcomer of the Year, also scored 16 touchdowns. All the best in recovery. Good news out of a bad situation. Stable, making progress. Ahmad Hardy, all the best in recovery. That news as of this morning at ESPN.com. That is our show today. I am sure we will get a season recap chat down the line with USF baseball head coach Grant Heeb later on this week. Still to come, a big announcement on the show coming tomorrow. Something in the works here at ESPN. Sioux Falls will tell you and let you in on that big news tomorrow. Sam Herder will be joining us tomorrow on the program. Hope you can make us a part of your day as well. Later on this week, a full college and pro baseball chat with Wayne McDonald Jr. and a lot more on the way in a busy middle of May edition and week of the show. That's the Monday Show. We're coming back tomorrow with even more goodies. Sam Herder joining us, and throughout the week, baseball talk, softball talk, NBA, NHL, and of course, you know it, I'm a football nerd. We'll be talking NFL, college game, and more as we navigate through the week. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 11 when the next edition of Overtime rolls around right here on your Sioux Falls sports leader. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.